Second Corinthians, the 9th chapter. I'd like to read a few verses, starting with the 6th verse. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. I'd like to stop right there with that 8th verse. I think this is one of the greatest promises in all the Word of God. Aren't you glad for the promises of the Lord? Listen to this. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. How many believe it's better to give than it is to receive? You believe that? I'm not going to take an offering. Don't get afraid. It is better to give. And that reminds me, I was going to give you a book. Right here it is. God bless you. All right. You know, I love the promises of God. I love them. They mean so much to me. I stand here tonight because of the promises of God. Time after time, God's promise has come to pass. It allows me to be in this pulpit tonight. Let's just thank him for the Word of God. Oh, thank you, Lord, for the Word. Thank you for the Word. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, how we praise you for it. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Lord, we do praise you for your Word tonight. It's a light into our pathway. We want to thank you for it. We wouldn't know which way to turn. We wouldn't know how to try the spirits to see whether they be of God if we never had the Word of the Lord. We're thankful for the Word. And we pray, Lord, that it shall dwell richly in every one of our hearts tonight. I ask, Lord, that thou wilt anoint thy servant in this weakness, his unworthiness, that he might minister as God would have him to minister tonight. I pray, Lord, that the Word shall come to quicken all of our lives. And we invite the Holy Spirit to bring it right down into our lives to change us and to strengthen us and to sustain us and to build us up in the most holy faith. We'll be very careful to give you all the praise and the glory. And everyone said, amen. I'd like to read my text again, but I'd like to read it from Living Letters. God, you may follow me there in the 8th verse. I hope you'll underline it. It's one of the greatest promises in God's Word. God is able to make it up to you by giving you everything you need and more, so that there will not be only enough for you, but plenty left for somebody else. Don't you love that? Now I got there's another translation that I even love more than that, and that's Moffat's. Listen to this. God is able to bless you with ample means so that you always may have quite enough for any emergency of your own. Now listen. And besides, for a kind act to others. God is able to bless you with ample means to meet any emergency emergency of your own, and ample enough to bless somebody else. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, these are tremendous days we live in. I said, these are tremendous days we live in. I know there's a depressive area. I realize that. I know that sin doth abound. I'm not blind. I know sin doth abound, but grace doth much more abound. Hallelujah. I don't believe it's going to be a beaten down people that are going to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe it's going to be a conquering church that's going to meet the Lord. Hallelujah. We are more than conquerors through Christ who first loved us. This is a wonderful day because God's pouring out His Spirit upon all flesh. It's a wonderful day because of the fact that this generation shall not pass away till all things be fulfilled. It's a wonderful day because you and I are going to see the coming of the Lord. Praise God. We are going to see the coming of the Lord. We're going to participate in the greatest adventure that has ever been planned for mankind. There's been a lot of adventures planned. I was down in NASA here last Saturday and visiting NASA and visiting some friends. And, you know, this is a tremendous age of sophisticated technology. It's a tremendous age. I'm glad I live in this age. I'm glad for the technical knowledge they have today. I really am. I'm glad I didn't have to come down to this meeting in a horse and buggy. Man, I would have got killed between signals. I'm glad for this age of technology. I'm glad for the fact that the minute this camp meeting's over, just as soon as I can pack my grips, I'm going to get on a plane. And I'm going to go home to that nice, sweet, brown-eyed gal that's waiting for me out there. Oh, I'm glad. I'm sure glad I don't have to ride a horse to California. Whew. You know what I'm talking about. This technology is tremendous. Just tremendous. When I was down at NASA, that 1,260-some-odd acres. You know, they have over 4,000 technicians there. 4,000 technicians. They have 7,000 specialists. It's amazing. And I was looking over at some of the things about the Apollo, and I couldn't help but think it cost us $25 billion to put that man on the moon. But I'm glad they did, because now I know it isn't made of green cheese. They told me when I was a boy the moon was made of green cheese. And that the cow jumped over the moon. They tell you that? Did they tell you that too? But don't you believe it. But it's a tremendous age, and they're getting more things technically all the time, and they're beneficial to us. They are beneficial, and I appreciate that fact of technical things. Of course, it's a little bit hard to communicate sometimes in these technical things. They got something, Brother Bethany. They got a new TV out that fits on your finger. It's not any bigger than your finger. Imagine them sitting in church watching the All-Star game and you trying to preach. Lord, help us. Amen. I was preaching a console a while back, and I looked down, and it was during the World Series. And I noticed a fella, and he had a little bit of a... There's one down here, a little earplug. I just noticed he's sitting like that. He had that running up and in his ear. And I knew he wasn't listening to me. I was preaching my heart out. And everyone says, smile. and he's listening to the World Series. He had that down, he had that little old pocket radio in his pocket, you know. And right in the middle of my sermon, I stopped and I said, "Say, brother, you wanted the radio with your earplug in there. Tell us what the score is." Whew. How to win friends and influence people. Oh, my. But they get so many new terminologies. I was down there at Nassau, and they're using all kinds of terms that I'd never heard in my life. We're going to have a whole new vocabulary. When I was a boy, I never heard of computerization. I want to know what that was. I never heard of astronautical. I never heard of all these new terms. They have a new term that they use that's connected with space that really blessed my soul, and that is redundancy. Redundancy. You know, that really blessed my heart. You know what redundancy is? They have these capsules and they send them on missiles. And they send them on special missions. You know the story. I'm not going to go into this. But they have a primary power in it. And they aim it at that mission. And it starts out. Now, in case anything happens that the primary fails, that it doesn't have enough in the regular system to carry it to its mission, then they have a secondary system that's called redundant power that automatically cuts in and gives it the thrust to its fulfillment. I don't have to preach anymore, do I? How many know what I'm talking about? God sent you and I on a mission. And we have the primary power of the flesh, of our body, of our soul, of our spirit, of our mind. But sometimes we can't quite get the mission done. So he's arranged for a secondary power called the Holy Ghost that cuts in. Oh, hallelujah, and carries us through the mission so we can complete the will of God in our life. Oh, thank God. How many are glad for the Holy Spirit? Let's thank the Lord right now for the Holy Spirit. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. When you get to a place where the flesh grows so weak that you can't go any further. How many have ever been to that place? I've been in the battle of right against wrong and righteousness against unrighteousness and hell against heaven and Satan against God and the church against the world at times, my friend, when I got on my knees and I said, "Oh God, I can't go another day." Have you ever been that way? Have you ever said, "I just can't take another thing"? Then all of a sudden the Spirit of God comes. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. I had one of my men working for the Atomic Energy Commission, and he was going down through the plant, and they had a great big, a huge vat of acid, and it was filled automatically. As the float went down, why, then it was filled as they used this acid, and the float stuck. And he was just going by, and that float turned loose, and a great, large amount, many gallons of acid came in, and it slopped right over the side and right over his body. And they grabbed him, and they put him in the shower, and they called, one of the men called me from the atomic energy plant, and they said, "We're rushing him to the hospital, and he's not going to make it." And I grabbed my car and went across town as fast as I could, and I went into the emergency ward, and they were just taking his shirt off. And as they were taking his shirt off, they were just peeling his hide right on off. Right on down to the bone. And he was whipping like a fish on the table in shock, just like that. And I touched the doctor And I went over to the corner of the room and I said, "Doctor, what's his chances?" The doctor was a personal friend of mine. And he said, "Ken," he said, "he's not going to make it. He can't make it. We have tried to neutralize the acid. But so much acid has penetrated his skin that when it gets down into the nerve center in his backbone, he'll be gone." And I went over there and I said to the nuns that were working there and to the nurses and the other two doctors, I said, wait a minute, just a moment. And I knelt down in front of Irvin and I looked up, he was on the table upside down. I looked up into his face and I said, "Irvin, we're going to pray." I said, "We're going to pray." And I started to pour my heart out to God. I said, "Lord, it's beyond us. We've come as far as we can. These doctors are doing everything they can." And I got lost in prayer. Did you ever get lost in prayer? I forgot about everybody round about. I said, "Oh, Lord, I love this man. I loved him. I didn't want to see him suffer." And all of a sudden, it just got real quiet in the room, you know, and I realized then I'd prayed maybe a little bit too long. And I stopped praying, and his body had settled right down on the table. And when I looked up, his eyes were looking at me, and he said, "It's going to be all right. Glory to God." I got up and I looked around that doctor. He said, "You just have to pardon me." Boy, I mean, he was bawling. "You just have to pardon me." I looked over those nuns and they were crying. They went ahead with their work. I had to go because this was an emergency and I didn't know that it was coming up and I had some things to do and I said, I'll be back tomorrow morning. Early in the morning I got up. I went down to the second floor of St. Mary's Hospital. Brother Vernon knows where that second floor of St. Mary's Hospital. We prayed for his daughter when his daughter didn't have a chance. When I saw him cut the rings off her fingers that were burnt and melt right into her flesh. God did it, didn't it? Raise your hand, Brother Vern. Say hallelujah, Will. Hallelujah. God spared him, too, when he put a saddle horn through his chest. Let me tell you, I went down there the next morning. I bounced up to that second story of St. Mary's, and I came by the main nurse's desk, and I said, "Good morning." She said, "Good morning, Reverend." I said, "How is Irvin Binkley?" She looked at me, she said, "That fool." I said, "What?" She said, "That fool got up this morning and he washed himself and shaved part of his face and he's up and down the halls telling everybody about Jesus." Woo! Hallelujah! Glory to God! That's the redundant power of God. When you can't go any further, it's beyond you. Then he cuts in and takes over. When you can't do it and I can't do it. Oh, I remember when I was just a little fella and our family got saved. The first time I ever came in contact with this redundant power. You know, in those days, we just took the word of God for what it said. We didn't have so many folks that were strong on analysis and weak on faith in those days. We just had them strong on faith in those days, you know. My mother, when she got saved, you could have told her anything. She was a star in Hollywood, and after she got saved, she just believed anything that people told her. She said, "If it's in the book, it's in the book. And if it's in the book, it's for us." She never said like some of these folks, this is for the Romans, and this is for the church at Corinth, and this is for the church at Ephesus, and there was nothing left for us. That's the way they do it today. And we boys come home from school, and we had chicken pox. How many ever had chicken pox? Then I went to preach for a preacher, and I won't tell you who he is. He's well known, everybody know him here. I went to preach for him, and I looked over on the platform, and he had the measles. He was all broken from the measles. He said to me, he said, you know, I got a fever, and I don't feel right. I said, that's not all. You don't look right. But in those days when you had the chicken pox or you had the measles, they put a sign on your house. How many remember that? The health officer came along, put a sign on the house. And they quarantined you. That's right. And so here came the health officer from school. You know, they sent us boys home. And the health officer, with a big sign, he's going to put it up in front of the house. And my mother said, you can't put that sign up there. He said, who said I can't put it up there? She said, I said you can't put it up there. And you're not going to put it up there. He said, well, your boy's got chicken pox. You're going to have that sign up there. She said, I can't have that sign up there because the Lord's our healer. The Lord may be your healer, but they've got the chicken pox. She said, I don't care. The Bible says in the 91st Psalm that no plague shall come nigh thy dwelling place. And you can't put the sign up. He said, I'm going to put the sign up. She said, you're not going to put the sign up. You'd have to know my mother. That meant he wasn't going to do it. That's right. He said, I'll put it up. I'll go get the health officer. He was a health officer from school. He went down and got the county health officer. And well, he went to get him. Mother came in and said, now, boys, this is what the Bible says now. She just took the Bible and laid it on us, you know, and started to pray. Oh, glory to God. I didn't feel anything. I never felt anything. I just knew the mother knew what she was talking about and knew that Jesus had saved us and knew that this book said that it was true. First thing you know, there was a knock at the door. My mother went to the door and opened the door, and that school health officer said, this is the woman. You know. So he introduced himself. He wasn't as calloused. The county health officer wasn't as callous as the other fellow. Said, what seems to be the trouble, madam? She said, well, this man wants to put a sign up there, chicken pox. And my boys don't have the chicken pox. Said, the Lord's our healer. We got converted last year, and the Lord's our healer. And he's taking care of everything. He healed my back when my back was grown together, she said. And if he can heal my back, he can heal my boys. And he can't put that sign up there because we've testified to everybody in this whole place how God heals us. And if we had that sign up there, chicken pox, that wouldn't be a very good testimony for Jesus. Well, he said, I'm sorry, but I'll just have to examine the boys. And he came into the room. He examined us, and he turned and looked at that school health officer and said, what in the world is wrong with you that you would bring me all the way out here to look at two boys that don't have any chicken pox at all? Glory to God. We never had one. That's the redundant power of God. All things are possible. Amen. It says here that he is able to bless you with ample means to meet any emergency and then give you enough to bless somebody else. Glory to God. Today, we live in days when we're being tested beyond measure. Our faith is being tried. Tension is high. If you don't believe that folks' nerves are on edge, you go down here and stop at that signal and let it turn green and just sit there a few moments. I was riding with the fella the other day, and he was riding along. He said, "That silly woman driver ahead of me, I wish she'd learn how to drive or get off the road." And we went by, and it was a fella with long hair. You gotta be careful these days. That's actually the truth. The church that makes the rapture, the promise in the third chapter of the book of Revelation, says that you have kept my word with patience. And because you kept my word with patience, I will keep thee from the hour of test and tribulation that will come upon the whole inhabited earth. Glory be to Jesus. But now the devil knows our time's short. He's going to do everything he can. And Paul said, "I prayed that none of you will be tricked like Eve was back there in the garden by Satan. That you'd misunderstand the simplicity of the gospel." The simplicity of the gospel is that Jesus has come that we might have life, and that we might have it more abundantly. That's with redundancy. Not just life, but the extra part of life. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. That's what he's talking about right here. And the tensions are so great in our churches today. You might as well say amen. It's so great on the job today. Everywhere you go, you feel the effect of it. I heard a man as he got a newspaper the other day in Houston. He got on the plane and he opened it up, and when he looked at the headlines, he swore aloud. He had had about all he could take. Well, spiritually, we're in a battle. And the battle, my friend, is stronger today than it was years ago. I remember when I started to preach during the days of depression. I preached my first sermon in 1928. And I remember when I started to preach, you know, all that you had to do was just get a text. That's all you had to do. And just start to preach. By the time you got to your second point, the folks were shouting, praising God, and you were in an altar call. But now they fold their hands and said, "I've heard everybody. What can you do?" I've heard the best of them, bless God. We've had more pastors in this church than any other church. What can you do? Not in West Texas, but other places it's like that. And I got to tell you about it, because sometime you may move somewhere. And you'll find out it'll be like that. Oh, I know what it is to be tried. Your faith is going to be tried. Jesus said, "When I come, will I find faith on the earth?" Your faith is going to be tried. Your faith's going to be tried with your family. Your faith's going to be tried on the job. Your faith's going to be tried in the church. You Sunday school teachers, your faith's going to be tried with your class. We're going to be a tried people. But oh, I thank God that he is able to bless us with ample means, hallelujah, to meet the needs in our own life and then to be a blessing to somebody else. I pitched a tent up in Utah. We had these big lights all around it. God was blessing. Oh, how God was blessing. God has given us souls every night. The Lord was just moving. But before I'd went to Utah, I was studying and somebody handed me a book. You know, it's dangerous to read some books. I said it's dangerous to read some books. And somebody had read me a, given me a book, and it was a book explaining away the need of talking in tongues. That you could get to baptism without talking in tongues. Now, I believe the Holy Spirit works with you when you're saved. How many believe that? I believe that. But when you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, you're going to speak in tongues. Amen. And I didn't have to erase any of the tapes to prove that out of the book of Acts. It's that way. But I'd read that, and it got down in my mind. And I was preaching on the baptism night after night in salvation. Folks were getting saved and getting the baptism in that tent. And we were having a wonderful, wonderful time. But every night after I finished preaching, I felt the devil come along and said, well, it wouldn't be necessary for him to speak in tongues. And he kept batting me. There were a lot of problems in the meeting anyhow, even though God was blessing. And there was a lot of fight and a lot of enemy. The crowds were terrific and all the rest. But I'd get down and pray at night, and I'd say, oh, God, help me, help me. I believe it. I'll believe it, Lord, because I've experienced it, and I know that he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself and builds himself up, and he speaks unto God. And I know the Apostle Paul said that I speak in tongues more than ye all. He is from Texas. He said, more than ye all. And I believe this thing. One night the battle got pretty tough. At the close of the service, I was praying with folks at the altar, and I walked down, I knelt down the second seat over on that side of that tent and in the sawdust. And I put my head down in that chair, and the tears came. It was a fight of the Spirit. It was a battle of the Spirit. And I said, Lord, I've gone as far as I can go. You got to help me. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, take this thing out of my mind. Take it out of my mind. And I said, Lord, I don't know how you're going to do it. But I know speaking in tongues is necessary, and I know it's a gift of God, and I know it's important because the promise is unto as many as the Lord our God shall call, even to those that are far off. And I cried and I wept before God, and all of a sudden, across the tent, way in the back, I heard somebody yell, Alhamdulillah! 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 Now, I don't know very much about Arabic. I've been a guest of the President of the Parliament of Egypt. I've been down through Egypt. I've ministered in the Middle East many times. But there's one word I do know, and that's Alhamdulillah. Praise the Lord. I knew that. I jumped up and I ran down across by the altar and down there, and here is a woman with her eyes closed yelling, Alhamdulillah! 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 I just grabbed a hold of her and said, wait a minute. She looked up at me. I said, why are you yelling, Alhamdulillah? Do you know what it means? She said, no, I don't know what it means. But the Spirit came on me and just told me that I should cry out, Alhamdulillah. Oh, blessed be the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to know Satan left the place. Glory to God. The primary had run out of strength, but the secondary cut in. You talk about a meeting. Ooh, praise. the name of the Lord. We had it! There comes a time when you just can't go any further. That's the reason when you get in the burden in prayer and you don't know how to pray. You don't know how to pray as you ought. And you get down on your knees, and it's so necessary for folks to have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And I don't mean that you spoke in tongues 20 years ago. I mean last night. I mean today. It's so important. And when you get down on your knees and you begin to pray, and the power of God comes. And the primary's running out, and it don't look like you can complete the mission, and it don't look like you can carry out what God's told you to carry out. And you begin to pour your heart out to God, and all of a sudden your spirit raises to the Lord. And you begin to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance, and the Holy Ghost begins to pray through you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know what happens? His spirit comes down and it meets your spirit. And no man knows the things of man but the spirit of man. And no man knows the things of God but the spirit of God. And so the spirit of God meets your spirit that knows your need. Hallelujah. And ministers your need. And all of a sudden you begin to praise the Lord. And the glory of God comes. You don't know what happened to the burden, but it's gone. And the spirit of man then becomes the candle of the Lord. Oh, let's worship him and thank him for it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Thank God for the redundant power of the Lord. Thank God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. I got home a little early from Florida. I was preaching at an educational convention down there. I got home a little early, and it was a Saturday. My wife said, "What are you going to do tomorrow, honey?" She said, "You were supposed to stay down there for Sunday." I said, "I'm going to preach somewhere." She said, "Where are you going to preach?" I said, "I don't know. I don't know where I'm going to preach. I'm going in my study." I went in my study, and God laid a place for my heart to preach. I had standing invitations at a lot of big churches, but this was just a medium-sized church, and I'd never been there. And I sat at my office, and I dialed a number, and a preacher answered the phone, and I said, "This is Kenny Smith. I just got in from Florida, and I got in early. Wasn't supposed to be through until after Sunday. But I had a chance to come home, and I came home. See, I'm a human being. I get homesick." And I said, "I'm just calling you. Would you need a little boost Sunday?" He said, "Let me ask you a question. Why did you call me?" He said, "You don't know me." I said, "I met you just once or twice. I know I don't know you." "Well," he said, "you got other places to preach. Why did you call me?" I said, "I'm just praying." And then I heard somebody sobbing at the other end of the line. He said, "Brother Smith, I want to tell you something. I'm laying on the bed with the phone in my hand. My wife is laying beside me. We've been in a battle in this church. My wife has lost 35 pounds. And she's suffering a nervous breakdown. And I'm laying here on the bed, and together we just joined hands. And we prayed that God would send us somebody to preach for us Sunday. Because we couldn't preach. There's a redundant power, friend, that you and I can depend on. And when the battle gets heavy, the battle's the Lord's. Glory to God. And greater is He that is within you. And when your strength is tested till you can't go anymore, then He cuts in. Let me tell you something. I want to finish that story. I went over there Sunday to preach. And I sat on the platform about where Brother Bethany was sitting. And some guests came in. And the pastor went down, well, the song leader was leading, to meet some guests over on this side. They are friends. I went down to meet him. And I looked back. My wife was sitting on this side of the congregation. And I noticed the man in front of her all of a sudden slump back. And I saw his eyes turn. I left the platform, went back there, and his wife began to cry. He's dead. He's dead. He'd suffered a massive heart attack. He slumped down. I sent one of the men gathered around. I said, go to the platform and tell that song leader, keep on leading the song service. Keep on singing and praising the Lord. God never makes a mistake. I said, God never makes a mistake. I said, I don't understand it, Lord. I felt I couldn't get any pulse. I felt for pulse. His body even had released. There's no air in his lungs. I tried artificial respiration. There was nothing. I said, just keep singing. Keep singing. His wife moved over there, said the doctor told us that he'd go suddenly. And I said, Lord, it can't be here. I've had people die in church before, but not now, Lord, in the battle of this church. Not now. Oh, Jesus, come. And a couple of men came, a couple of deacons, and knelt down. They looked at me and they said, Brother Schmidt, he's dead. I said, send for an ambulance, but we're going to pray. We prayed, prayed. And then all of a sudden, the glory of God come down in the congregation. We could go no further. And all of a sudden, I heard that fellow just go, the breath came back. They took him to the hospital. They examined him. They put him in intensive care. And the doctor said, this man should not be alive. This man should be dead. He's had such a massive heart attack, there's no reason for this man being alive. His wife called us and told us a report, and one of the deacons came back, came into the church at the close of the service. After God had moved on that congregation and the altars were filled and everybody was praying, that deacon run to the platform and said, God has done a miracle for our church today. Not only did He send us a preacher to help our preacher today, but the great physician came by and the resurrection power of God came by to let us know that He's on the throne and that He wants to see this church through. They gathered around and said, listen, can you stay a couple days? I said, I'm sorry, I've got a meeting coming up Thursday. They said, well, could you stay till Thursday? I said, I don't know, I'll call. And I called and they said, my friend said, go ahead and stay till Sunday. We'll put that off, and we stayed to Sunday, and God turned that thing upside down, my friend. They had a revival, and God touched that pastor's wife. Hallelujah. And today it's an on-fire-going church filled with the glory of God because of the redundant power of God. He's here to meet your need. You can't carry that load. You stumble and fall. But he says, it's expedient for you, advantageous, that I go away. In the 16th chapter, John 7th verse. For if I go away, I'll send the Comforter, the Strengthener, Confortus is the Latin. That's with strength. He'll come with strength, and you'll have redundant power in your battle of life. Glory to God. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Everybody praying right now. Oh, I sense the redundant power of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I wonder how many here tonight, well, our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, and everybody's praying. How many will say, Brother Schmidt, I've got a battle. I'm in a battle. I'm in a battle. It just seemed like I can't go any further, and I need a touch from God. Let me see a hand. Just put it up and put it down. God's going to do it. God's going to do it. There's something about that name. Hallelujah. 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 How many others will say, I've come to a place in my life, Brother Smith, that the burden just so heavy I can't hardly carry it any longer. I just feel it. It seems to crush me. Just slip your hand up. God bless you. God bless you. I watched a young lady come down to the altar the other night, and she knelt down at the altar and gave her heart to the Lord. And I knelt opposite her. She said, my husband's left me. We have never been Christians. I said, do you believe the word of God? She said, yes, I do, because God's taken away all my sin tonight. Well, I said, I want to give you a promise. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. I said, if you'll delight yourself in the Lord right now, and give, he'll give you the desires of your heart. And she turned herself loose to God, and God filled her with the Holy Ghost. And the next Sunday night, her husband came to service, and she didn't even know it. And when the altar call was given and everybody went down to pray, she came down to pray, and he stood up in the back with tears rolling down her face, walked down, put his arm around her, and she looked up to see who put his arm around her, and it was her husband. She said, I want Jesus too. Glory to God. Glory to God. That's the kind of Jesus we serve. He's here tonight. He's here tonight. I want everyone to stand with your heads bowed and your eyes closed.
Jesus, Jesus, there's something about that name.
Heavenly Father, you're here, and you're here for a specific reason. You're here to meet our needs tonight. You laid this message on my heart tonight, Lord. I just didn't pick it out. You laid it on my heart. And you know who's here that needs your help. I pray that the Holy Spirit will come, and may it flow like a river to meet the need in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. How often you've come to me, Jesus. You've come in the still of the night. You've come in the heat of the battle. You've come in services. You've come at home. And you're here now. Well, our heads are bowed and no one's looking around. The Spirit of God's here. If you need a touch from God tonight, this isn't a general altar call. You're in a battle. I don't want to know what your battle is, friend. He'll take care of that battle. I can't do it. but I'm preaching to you. He is able to do more exceedingly abundant than you can ask or think. And he's able to give you ample means to meet any emergency of your own. And then enough to be a blessing to somebody else. Well, we sing, Jesus, Jesus. Slip out of that seat and come and stand here in the front, will you? And God's going to meet your need tonight as you yield yourself to him.